Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
No one will ever slip into their lost eternity saying, I never had a chance. Yes, they did. He has accomplished salvation for every human being that has ever lived. All right, now then I think we can go on into chapter 3. So he says, wherefore, because of what we've already established, holy brethren. Now here we're not talking just simply to the Hebrews in the flesh, but we're talking to believers who are brethren in Christ, because after all, we're sure Paul wrote this, and so Paul is going to be constantly, by innuendo, if not by direct statement, he's going to be bringing in the position of the grace age believer, saved as we are by faith in that finished work of the cross. So he speaks of them as brethren in Christ, not just as brethren in the flesh as Jews. Then he says the next word, they are partakers of the heavenly calling. Well, you know, once in a while it just thrills my heart when someone writes that if they saw a program, they saw something for the first time that they had never understood, even though they had read the Bible over and over, they'd been in Sunday school, never understood this concept before, and that was that Israel were God's earthly people. We in the church age are God's heavenly people. And there's that much distinction, see? God's earthly people, Israel, were associated with all the earthly promises of materialism. And all you have to do is just stop back and think for a moment. Abraham, was he rich or poor? Oh, according to the economy of their day, he was wealthy. And all that wealth went right on to the next one, Isaac. And by the time Isaac finishes his sojourn on earth, where does all that wealth go? To Jacob. And so indeed they were blessed with material blessings. And so Israel was admonished throughout her Old Testament history that if they were obedient, God blessed them. When they were disobedient, God chastised them in the area of the physical and the material. But see, we don't live under that kind of a format in this age of grace. God may bless us materially, but He isn't duty-bound to. There's nothing in Paul's writings that said, if you do good, I'll make you a millionaire. No, it's not in there. All our promises, all our blessings are heavenly. And consequently, we do not get tied to the earthly things. If God sees fit to bless us, great. But if not, we're not going to complain because our riches are waiting for us. I don't care if we do have to go through 70, 80, 90 years with little of this world's good. The eternity that is waiting for us is more than worth it. All right, so he says that we are partakers of the heavenly, even these Jewish believers now. Now, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that the book of Hebrews is written to Hebrew believers. And we don't lose that. You know, and when I started the book of Hebrews, you remember I said there's no Roman road in the book of Hebrews? There's no plan of salvation laid out so clearly like it does in Romans or Galatians. But it is a letter written to Hebrew believers who, of course, had been steeped in Judaism, the religion of the Jew. And any time, I don't care whether it's Jew or Gentile, whether it was then or now, whenever someone tries to make that break with religion, it is tough. It is not easy to turn your back on something that has been drummed into you since you were old enough to walk. Well, that was the lot of these Hebrew believers that Paul is addressing. They had come out of Judaism, they had made the break, and now they're having second thoughts. Is this Jesus of Nazareth really who He said He was? Is he really the Messiah, the Redeemer of mankind? And so this is the thrust of this book of Hebrews. And so here again now, Paul says then that even these Jewish believers, having come out of the religion of Judaism, are now partakers of the heavenly calling. And I'll be pointing to that in a little later verse in this chapter, how that we are already citizens of heaven, and we have that heavenly connection. All right, so now then he says, we who are partakers of this heavenly calling, the next word is rather a blasé word in our English, and that's unfortunate, the word consider. But you know, in the Greek, you know what it means? With all the attention that you can muster, focus on this man from glory, the apostle of our confession, which another word would be the prophet or the Messiah. Now, don't take that word consider lightly. In the Greek, it just can't emphasize it enough. In fact, the reason I'm doing this all the time, I think what I've got in the back of my own mind is, I remember one time we were taking the ship up to Alaska, and the whales were jumping way over, about a mile over. And my little old binoculars weren't good enough, so a fellow there had a great big set, and he says, here, use mine. Well, when you concentrated through those binoculars, even though they're a mile away, my, you could see those humongous whales just jumping. But what did you have to do? You had to focus on it or you miss it. Now, that wasn't just a casual scanning the ocean. It was focusing in there and watching the activity, see? All right, now, I think that's a good way of explaining this. We are to just focus in on this man from glory, the carpenter of Nazareth, who is the eternal, sovereign, creator, God of the universe. All right, so now, as partakers of this heavenly calling, we are to focus in with all that's at our disposal, the apostle and the high priest of our confession, is a better word than profession, Christ Jesus. Now, of course, you all know, I trust, that the word Christ in the English, in the Greek, is Messiah. The Messiah, Jesus. And that, of course, comes out of all the promises of the Old Testament. All right, so let's look at it again. We are to consider, we're to focus in with everything in our being, the apostle. Now, I'm going to wait with the high priesthood until we get a little later into Hebrews, especially chapter 7. But for today, I'm going to let the high priesthood just sort of sit, and we're going to look at this word apostle. Now, normally, we don't think of Jesus as an apostle, and it even kind of shook me up when a long time ago I started preparing for this study in Hebrews, and I thought, well, I always knew that he was prophet, priest, and king, but I never really heard of him as an apostle. Well, the word means the same thing. An apostle in the Greek is really someone who was sent. In other words, the 12. What did Jesus do? He sent them. When the Apostle Paul was commissioned in the book of Acts, what did the Lord tell him? I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. Now, we got the same concept here then concerning Christ. He was sent. Well, who sent him? Well, let's go all the way back to Deuteronomy, because after all, the Old Testament fits with the New, and we can't separate them. Come back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and let's just jump in at verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 18, dropping in at verse 15. All got it? The Lord thy God, see? The Father, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Or we could say from the Book of Hebrews, an apostle. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Now, of course, Moses is speaking. Unto him you shall hearken. according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, that's the other word for Mount Sinai, all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Mount Sinai in the day of the assembly when they were gathered around the mount, remember, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that they which they have spoken. Now verse 18. God says to Moses, I will raise them up a prophet, an apostle, someone that I am sending from among their brethren. Now the word brethren here, of course, is talking about the nation of Israel, from whence, of course, Christ came. And I will raise them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I, the Father says, shall command him. See how clear that is? And then it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken or listen unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, God says, I will require it of him. All right, now, to pick up that being sent concept, let's go all the way up to Matthew. And again, I'm using this for more than one reason, and that is whenever I teach that Jesus came only to the nation of Israel to fulfill all the Old Testament promises and prophecies, some people get all shook up. Oh, they get shook up. And I think I've shared on the program before, while I was teaching this one time in Jerusalem on one of our Israeli tours, and a gentleman just got red as a beet. I mean, he was that uptight. And he said, then what do you do with John 3:16? That doesn't say he sent him to Israel, it sent him to the whole world. Well, I said, you just don't read your Bible. He came first to the nation of Israel. And when Israel rejected him, then yes, he became the Savior of the whole world. But in his original ministry, he came only to the nation of Israel. All right, you got Matthew 15. Most of you know the account of the Canaanite woman. And we almost have to take all of it, otherwise it just doesn't make sense. So let's start at verse 21, honey. Matthew 15, and we'll start at verse 21. And this, of course, is taking place during his earthly ministry. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts or the borders or the city limits of Tyre and Sidon, Roman cities up there on the Mediterranean Sea coast. And behold, a woman of Canaan, a Gentile. She was not a member of the tribes of Israel. And a woman of Canaan came out of those same borders, in other words, out of the cities of Tyre and Sidon. And she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he, the Lord Jesus, answered her, how much? Not a word. Not a word. He never even responded that he heard her. And his disciples, the 12, they came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said in her hearing, I am not sent. Now underline that word sent. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came back and worshipped him, and saying, but Lord, help me. And again he gave the answer, which tells us so clearly that he was under covenant responsibility. He could not betray the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he answered and said, it is not meet, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, goodness sakes, I trust you've all been in church and Sunday school long enough. Who were the children that Jesus is referring to? Israel, the Jewish people. They were God's covenant people, the children. And who were the dogs? Well, the Gentile. And so the picture was God's table. And you know, whenever I teach this, I always have to bring up Psalms 23. What does David say about the Lord's table? Well, it was set before him. Well, now that wasn't a table of meat and potatoes and vegetables or any of the other Jewish kosher food. What was it referring to? The spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings that Israel was positioned to partake of. That was part of their being in the covenant promises. They feasted at the Lord's table. Now, you see, the Lord brings that all the way up out of Psalms 23 into His earthly ministry now, and He said, it's not right for me to take the things from the Lord's table, that is for Israel, and give it to you Gentiles. Can't do that, because He was under covenant promises. But this is one of those exceptions in His earthly ministry, one of two, really, that He condescended to a Gentile, and He finally gives in, and He says, O woman, verse 28, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole on that very hour. Now, the only other Gentile that this happened to was the Roman centurion on behalf of his son. Jesus had nothing to do with the Gentiles. He couldn't, because he was under those covenant promises, and he was sent by God the Father to fulfill those promises. Now, another companion verse, of course, in Matthew is in chapter 10. And we've looked at some of these verses off and on, but I have to always remind myself, we've got new listeners coming in every day. And even though some of you have heard all this from Genesis 1:1, we have a lot of listeners who have not. And so we'll just keep repeating these things for their benefit. Now, Matthew chapter 10. And again, this is the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry. And in verse 1, it says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. And then it names them. And then verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. That's why they're called apostles. Jesus sent them forth, and he commanded them, saying, go not. See how plain this is? We'd say it in our English vernacular, do not go into the way of Gentiles. Do not go into any city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, good heavens. That's plain English. There's no gobbledygook here. There's no way of twisting this and make it mean something else. It says what it means, and it means what it says. Jesus said, do not go to a Gentile. Do not go to a Samaritan. These promises are given only to the lost sheep in the house of Israel because of the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as you read the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the rest, they never write to the Gentile world. They write to the nation of Israel. And so everything was directed according to these covenant promises. All right, now then let's go all the way up to Acts. Acts chapter 3, and Peter is now preaching shortly after the day of Pentecost. In chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, but now I'm going to take you into chapter 3, which is just a very short time later. Acts chapter 3, and let's drop in at verse 22 and 23. Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. And now remember, what's Peter's purpose of preaching this message? To convince his Jewish listeners shortly after Christ's earthly ministry, now remember, that the one they crucified was the Christ. He was the promised Messiah, but God raised him from the dead. And so you haven't stopped God's program. It's all been made ready now. The work of redemption has been accomplished, and he's alive, and he can yet fulfill all the Old Testament promises. Plain as day, isn't it? All right, so now look what Peter says in verse 22. For Moses, see how he goes back to the Old Testament? For Moses truly said to the fathers. Now, who were the fathers? Well, the tribal leaders of Israel, the 12 tribes. And so Moses said to the fathers, a prophet, see? An apostle. Shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, not the whole world yet, to Israel. And he shall be raised up unto you, and he'll be of your brethren. In other words, he was born of the Jewish family of Joseph and Mary. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Now Moses, of course, is speaking of himself as a Jew raised up out of one of the 12 tribes of Jacob. All right? Him shall you hear, Peter says, quoting it from Moses. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he, that is the Messiah, the sent prophet, in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. Now verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, that Jesus of Nazareth, every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed or removed from the scene from among the people. Now what's he saying? Israel was under a tremendous responsibility to believe that this carpenter's son, once he proved it with signs and wonders and miracles, was the promised Messiah. And if they couldn't believe it, they would be removed from Israel. And of course, we know that's what happened. And when they cried for his crucifixion and they said, let his blood be upon us, oh, they didn't know what they were saying. And for 2,000 years, the Jewish people have been suffering immeasurably. I was reading a book again the other night, just detailing the sufferings of the Jewish people for the last 2,000 years. It is beyond human comprehension. Now, of course, the Holocaust was the prime epitome of all that. All right, now I think I've got one more in the book of Acts. I've got a couple minutes left. Come on over with me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Chapter 7, and let's drop in at verse 35. And we're still going to have a reference to Moses. But now, of course, Stephen. Stephen is the speaker, and he is addressing the religious leaders of Israel. And Stephen, just like Peter before him, is trying to convince these Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Yes, he'd been crucified, but God had raised him from the dead, and he was now alive and could still fulfill all those Old Testament prophets. There's not a word of God's grace in here yet. There's not a word of the gospel of grace. There's not a word in here about what we call Paul's gospel. This is still dealing with Israel. All right, verse 35. This Moses, whom they refused, when they said, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer, 40 years later, remember, by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the burning bush. Verse 36, he brought them out after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Verse 37, here it is now. This, speaking of Jesus of Nazareth, the one whom they had crucified, this is that Moses who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet, see? A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. In other words, out of the nation of Israel. Like unto me. And as Moses was the deliverer, so Jesus of Nazareth was to be the deliverer of Israel into the kingdom promises. All right? Him shall you hear. This is he. See, this is who was in the midst of that assembly or that church in the wilderness. In other words, who was the pillar of cloud by day? It was Christ.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.